This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. May is National Bike Month, and this week is National Bike to Work Week. With expanding bike trails, bike sharing services, plenty of bike shops, and a high rate of bike commuters, the bicycling community in Cincinnati is growing quickly. On the legislative front, cyclists had a major victory last year when Ohio lawmakers passed the 3-foot law, which took effect in March. The new law requires motorists to leave at least 3 feet of space when passing a bicyclist. And joining us to talk about Cincinnati's bicycling community, the progress made, and the challenges still face, are Ohio's bike lawyer Steve Magus and board president of Queen City Bikes, Frank Henson. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Frank and Steve, thank you for being here this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be here.
Yeah,
Frank, how did Bike to Work Week, which we're right at the very beginning of this, how did that get its start?
It got started in 1956 by the League of American Bicyclists. And the simple agenda was to encourage people to spend a week and ride a bike to and from work.
Okay, so it's been going on since 1956. I didn't know it was that old.
Yes.
Wow. How much has it grown in popularity in Cincinnati? How much is it catching on here?
We've been doing Bike to Work Week for well over 30 years. And every year, more and more people get out on their bike to go to work in some manner doing Bike to Work Week. Cincinnati is the third fastest growing bike commuting city in the country.
So, and nationally, how much is bike commuting catching on?
I think the data is showing that it's growing 8 or 9% a year.
Now, during a bike month, bike to work week, what are some things bicyclists should keep in mind?
Same road, same rights, same rules.
Okay.
You're a vehicle under the Ohio and Kentucky codes, and you need to follow the same rules. Be vigilant about what's going on in your surroundings so that you're aware of anything that could possibly be coming up and you can safely react to it.
Steve, you're a bike attorney. What's your advice? Do you agree with what Frank is saying there?
Oh, absolutely. We've been preaching same rights, same road, same rules for years, and if you drive your bike like you drive your car, you're going to be safest. Get in the lane, you know, use your arm signals when you can, be aware of what's ahead, what's behind, be conspicuous on the road in that you want people to see you as early in the traffic game as they can. And that's part of the reason we talk about riding off the white line into the lane a bit, because when a car comes up behind you, they can see you much further away if you're out in the lane than if you're hugging the white line or riding over in the berm, and then all of a sudden you dart out because there's something in your way. So it's much better to ride very consistently, straight lines, and ride your bike like you drive your car.
Now, what about the argument that people say, bikes are different, though? Sometimes you'll have people say, maybe I don't want to stop at that red light for safety reasons. Maybe I just want to keep going because in that particular situation, it's a safer thing for me to do.
Cyclists need to follow the rules. I mean, that's the thing. And I'm assuming you're talking about the cyclist who wants to keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and because you sometimes hear the argument that it's a different thing than driving in a
car. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, people in cars do stupid things. And when they do stupid things, they put other people's lives at risk. People on bikes do stupid things too. And when they do that, they put themselves at risk. So, you know, if I ride a bike, I ride a motorcycle, I ride a car, if I wanted to skip every red light on my motorcycle, I'd be home a lot faster. But that's not safe. It's not legal. And I'm not going to do that. You shouldn't do that on your bicycle either.
Mm-hmm. Our bicycle world encourages all the bicyclists to obey the rules. Stop at the stop signs. Stop at the red lights.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Steve, how are we doing when it comes to safety issues surrounding bikes in this area?
I always start with the fact that cycling is extremely safe. Ohio is one of the top 10 largest states in the country. We have a huge population. And when you compare how people crash on bikes and are killed on bikes with other states, we're one of the safest states. So when we're talking about the very far end of that bell curve out there when things start to go wrong, in general, Ohio does very well. We have about 1,500 crashes in Ohio each year that involve bikes and cars. I don't know if that seems like a lot or a little to someone, but car drivers hit other cars 300,000 times, and they run into bicycles or bicycles run into them about 1,500 times. So 1 or 2% of the total sort of accident market, so to speak, is what bicycles come into.
So 1,500 on an annual basis. Yeah. How many are fatal?
Well, we have about 15 to 16 on average in Ohio each year, and those they tend to come kind of randomly. It's not like we say, oh, we always have a bunch in Cleveland or we always have a bunch in the big cities. Some years, Cleveland, Cincinnati will have none. There's always a bunch in Columbus, it seems like, and then the rest are kind of dotted in. Usually, they're kind of more rural areas, people on the 55-mile-an-hour roads. We have in the old days, in the 70s, there used to be a high percentage of children were killed on bikes. Today, that's totally flip-flop. 90% of people who die on a bike are going to be over the age of 40, and 1 or 2 or 10% or less are going to be under the age of 15. So it's adults, generally adult men, who are the higher category, but the women's percentages are sort of increasing as women are riding more as well, too. But the numbers are way down. So in 1975, 1,000 people were killed on bikes. Today, 700-ish nationally, 15 or 16 in Ohio.
So it's getting better.
It is much better. Well, because when you think about it, we got a lot more people riding bikes. We're in a bike boom right now. And all aspects of cycling are booming. Urban cycling, road cycling, people riding for fitness, trails. I mean, everything is booming. And the numbers are staying the same. So there's a lot more people out there.
So what are some of the most common incidents between bikes and cars, Frank, and some of the most common causes of mishaps?
I think the largest crash point is what we call a left-hand turn. A bicyclist is proceeding in a straight manner down the street, and a motor vehicle coming in the opposite direction makes a left-hand turn, and they don't see the cyclist. The second one is the right-hand turn. You've got a bicycle coming up the street and a car to their left, and they get ahead and they go to make a right-hand turn, and they misjudge the speed of the bicyclist, and that creates a collision.
Yeah, and that's something you have to think about too. Like on Central Park, where you've got that bike that bike lane that's on the right side, the car is to the left of that, and if you're coming up making a right-hand turn, you have to check that bike lane, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Motorists need to realize that's a vehicle too. I think sometimes that motorists don't look at bikes as being a vehicle as well.
And it's easy to underestimate the speed as well. I mean, a bike on a road like Central Parkway, a fit rider can hit 20, 25 miles an hour, and you're not necessarily expecting that in a car.
Steve, what are your thoughts on some of the more dangerous situations that a bicyclist can find themselves in?
Well, there's a lot, obviously. The bicyclist, I think, can control the risk by how they ride their bike, and they can create danger by how they ride their bike. So, again, this is why we talk to people about riding a bit into the lane, because both of those scenarios that Frank described, the person coming towards you makes a turn in front of you, you hit the car. If you're further out in the lane, you're more likely to be seen, and you reduce that risk. Same thing with the right person passing you and making the right turn. If you're into the lane, they can see you. You kind of minimize that risk. A person coming up from behind you, if you ride too far to the right, they may think to themselves, man, I can squeeze in between his elbow and the lane line. I'm just going to go. And all of a sudden, there's a car 2 inches off your elbow. If you ride over to the left a little bit into the lane, that person can't do that. Once they cross that line to pass you, they generally give you enough room. So the danger really comes from how you control yourself on the road and then making yourself conspicuous, because that's most of these crashes are, I didn't see him.
Right, visibility is an issue. How do you make yourself more conspicuous? What are some good ways to do it?
As Steve mentions, the first thing you do is you take the lane. If a traffic lane is 12 feet wide or less, it can't be shared with a bike and a car. There's just not enough room. So the bicyclist can just get right in the middle of the lane. And
bicyclist is on a vehicle.
He's right.
On a vehicle. So,
exactly.
Yes, okay.
And just keep going. And you're then in the best position to be seen.
There's all kinds of stuff. Frank brought his red bike helmet. You could see that from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
People are riding these days with blinkers front and rear. I had a case with a woman in Kentucky who had on a bright military spec vest and front and rear blinkers when she rode during the daytime all the time to make sure she was very conspicuous to people. It's not required by any law, but you can certainly take steps like that to make yourself more visible, as well as your lane position is the primary thing. If you're too far to the right, you're blending in with all that visual clutter, the signs and the trees and, you know, all that stuff. And it makes it more difficult for people just to, once they perceive you, you know, you give them enough time in the traffic game to think about, okay, there he is, I got to get around him. You know, it's when they sort of come on you suddenly that there's a problem. And
Frank, do you think that bike safety is something that feeds on itself? More bikes on the road make drivers more aware that bikes are on the road? And
yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons we encourage people to get out and ride your bike, ride it like a vehicle. And there's a theme this year in May Bike Month, and it's called Get Somebody Biking. And we're asking all the riders to find at least one person this month who isn't riding or hasn't ridden in a long time and get them out on a bike.
So be a bike mentor.
That's correct. And
I like that better than yours, Frank. We had to keep that.
And if you take a picture of who you're mentoring and you put it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and you hashtag it, hashtag get someone biking, it will show up on the Cincinnati Bike Month .com website.
So let's talk about Ohio's new 3-foot law. Steve, how significant is that? That took years to pass.
It took 7 years, multiple efforts to get 24 words added to the vehicle code. It's significant on a number of levels. Number one, it just is another state-sponsored, state-agreed, passed law that says it's okay to ride a bike on the road. And we're going to do something to protect the cyclist when they're on the road. We're going to create this 3-foot sort of cushion around them because now is that the perfect distance? We didn't have a PhD candidate scientist, you know, running numbers, but it just seemed like it's in 28 or 9 states. And if you stick your arm out to make a left turn, you shouldn't hit a car. That's kind of how that 3-foot number came up. And it gives, again, this cushion of safety around a cyclist so that if we can impart into motorists' heads, whether it's 3-foot, 4-foot, whatever, give them some space. Let them go around them. Don't try to pass right on their elbow or get too close to the cyclist when you're passing. That's the key. And then the other one is this idea of promoting cycling, and groups like Queen City Bike and Cincinnati Cycle Club. I sit on the board of the Ohio Bicycle Federation. We kind of are a coalition of dozens of groups around the state. We're all doing things to promote the 3-foot law, promote cycling, promote safety, promote awareness, and so that the bigger portion of the law helps with this promotional effort so that people understand we're going to be out there, we're riding, you know, just don't run us over. I mean, that's the bottom line. We're just all trying to promote safety for cycling.
Is 3 feet enough, Frank?
It's the minimum.
Yeah, that's right.
Another phrase you'll hear is 8 is great.
Okay.
Or change lanes to pass is really what we'd love to have into the law. But when we were developing the 3-foot law, we didn't think we had the political muscle to really push change lanes to pass into the law. So the 3-foot kind of was a compromise there.
How does it work? How is it enforced? Can a bicyclist file a complaint against somebody, or does a police officer have to see this happen? Or
I think in order to get a ticket written, it's going to have to be either the circumstances, like most tickets. I mean, a cop sees you go through a red light, you're going to get a ticket. A cop sees you aggressively passing a cyclist, then there may be a ticket. There are efforts in some cities where police have been riding their bikes, and when people pass aggressively or throw things at them, or you know, they can radio ahead and they'll pull them over and issue tickets. We're not sitting here saying, "Oh, we need lots of tickets." It's out there. We'd like to see it enforced, but it's as important as a promotional tool as it is in a ticket device.
Cincinnati has had its own 3-foot law for a number of years now. And the only ticket that I'm aware that's been written under the local ordinance is when some motorist passed within 3 feet of one of the city's bike patrol policemen.
don't do that. Yeah. That's not too wise. Not too wise of a thing. We had an email that says the emailer says he walks a lot and he often encounters bikers who have no consideration for those walking. And I'm not sure if the emailer is talking about bikes riding on sidewalks or not. I'm not sure if that's what he's referring to. But, you know, he does have a point here. Bikes are quiet. And if you're driving or you're stepping off a curb, you're not going to hear them. You have to be looking for them.
Well, they're fast, too. People don't appreciate sometimes how fast the bike is. And so you look down the road, there's a bike coming, and you take a step. The guy's going 25 miles an hour. He's going to be on you a lot faster than you realize. There are a lot of sort of confrontations if people ride bikes on the sidewalks. That's why most bigger cities, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Toledo, Dayton, I think all have laws prohibiting sidewalk cycling because it's just not safe, especially in a big urban environment.
But there's no universal law. Some places would allow it. Some places wouldn't allow it.
The state allows each city to do its own thing. So we have 48 jurisdictions in Hamilton County that can pass laws. They can each have a different version if they want of sidewalk laws for bikes.
Now, you specialize in bike law. How busy does that keep you?
Very busy. I mean, I've sort of tamped down my practice a bit, and about 85% of it is representing cyclists who are involved in crashes around the state of Ohio. I get called into cases in some other states from time to time, but you know, I have cases now from here to Cleveland, and it's I've got probably 50, 60 cases percolating at any time. So that part keeps me busy. And then I work with Frank. I work with the Cycle Club. I work with the Ohio Bicycle Federation on the legal issues and the advocacy issues as well. So,
Frank, how's this area doing when it comes to developing bike trails? How's Cincinnati? How do we stack up here?
We're doing well. There's an advocacy group in Greater Cincinnati, Tri-State Trails, which is a coalition of advocates and trails and a vision to develop a bike trail network for active transportation. Things are happening. Last year, the city acquired the right-of-way for Wasson Way, and in August, a piece of that's going to get installed. The various paths we got going are in various states of development. The big issue with trails is they're very expensive, they cost millions of dollars, and they take a long time to get done. But we're doing well, as well as a lot of the other communities are.
Yeah. How many miles do we have? Do you have any idea?
I don't have the total off the top of my head now, but we're getting there. I think in the three-state, 10-county area the Tri-State Trails works in, there's maybe 335 miles of bike paths.
And what about the bike lanes? Are we seeing more and more of those as well?
The city of Cincinnati has a bicycle transportation plan. And in the plan, it calls for the installation of bike lanes and other street type of bike infrastructure. I think currently now we've got about 80 miles, and all the plan, which is going to last for 15 years, calls for the installation of about 450 miles of stuff. The bicycle community has a concern that recently we haven't been following the plan to get the things installed. In the bicycle transportation plan, it calls for installing elements when the city is rehabbing its streets and roads. Last fall, the city embarked on the Capital Acceleration Plan, the CAP plan, which is primarily rebuilding all our streets. This is an opportunity to implement the bike plan by installing the planned bike infrastructure with the CAP plan. What the bicycle community is doing is we're going out into neighborhoods and we're sharing with the community what the bike plan calls for, and we're encouraging them, if they agree, to contact the transportation committee or the neighborhood committee or other committees of city council and say to them, we want the plan implemented. If we don't do this with the CAP plan, we're missing a great opportunity to get it implemented.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk to Dale and Amelia. Hi, Dale.
Hi there. I was just curious because the red bikes that are downtown, you have a bunch of them, and every time I've been downtown, people are riding them on the sidewalks, and you just said somebody there said something about there, it's against the law. There better be some signs posted at those locations telling people that.
Yeah.
Every red bike on the handlebar has a sticker that says, no sidewalk riding.
Then people just aren't paying attention.
Right. This is primarily an education issue. I think the riders that are getting on the sidewalk with any bike, they assume that they're safer, but in reality, they're not. There are many more potential conflict points on a sidewalk than on the street.
Now, we should talk about the Bike to Work Day on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Go into a little more detail about how all that works.
Well, it's an exciting day. We're encouraging anybody that's even considered it to get on your bike and figure out how to ride it to work. And the four bus transportation systems in Greater Cincinnati, Tank, Metro, Butler County, and Claremont County, on Friday, if you bring your bike to the bus and put it on the bike rack in front, you get a free bus ride. And the big celebration Friday morning is breakfast on the bridge on the Newport side of the Purple People Bridge from 7 to 9 a.m. Well, there'll be hundreds of bicyclists there, and we're going to have fun.
But that's interesting. You can and a lot of the buses have those racks now, don't they?
I think all of them do.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people realize that mm-hmm. option is available to them.
And if you're curious about how to use the rack, go to the Century Metro website and find their bicycle page, and they got all the information of how to use the bike rack. It's easier to do it than to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Frank said an important word there, and I do a lot of research on the history of cycling and from the legal side and from the advocacy side. But back in the 90s, which would be the 1890s, you know, people were passionate about their cycling. And that's when this whole thing sort of started in Ohio and in the rest of the country. And I was trying to figure out what makes these guys so passionate back then. I have a book I meant to bring today from 1895, has bike routes throughout Ohio, maps with paragraphs on what to see and where to ride to and what the best sites are. And the word Frank used was fun. I mean, but when you get to the bottom line, you get on a bike, and it's a fun thing to do. And you know, all this other stuff, we're trying to keep everybody safe, get from point A to point B. But it's a lot of fun just to get on the bike and go.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Appreciate thank
it,
you.
Steve and Frank, and for all the good advice on biking. And again, Friday, Bike to Work Day. Don't forget that. So,
And one more thing, if I may. On Sunday, it's a ride called the Canal Bikeway Ride. And it starts at Sawyer Point, comes up Eggleston, Central Parkway, all the way to Ludlow, and then it crosses over to the Mill Creek Bridge Bikeway. You'll see every type of bicycle infrastructure that exists in the city on that ride.
Ohio's bike lawyer Steve Magus and board president of Queen City Bikes Frank Henson.